Welcome to Home Group. This is Bishop Rick, and today we have another bishop with us. I've invited Bishop Alan DeDio to be with us today. And today we're going to talk about, are you guys ready? We're going to talk about the rapture. When is the rapture going to take place? Is it really going to take place? When is the Antichrist going to show up? Do we know who the Antichrist is? And is he alive right now? Well, this is going to be a great Home Group. But I want to welcome Maxime. Welcome.
Hello, friends. I'm so thankful and thrilled to be here.
And Max Andre, I'm glad that you're here. And we want to welcome Alan DeDio.
Oh, wow.
And he's just written a book called They Lied to You About the Rapture. And it's really an interesting title. And it talks about the rapture, why the rapture is true. It is a tremendous book. I read it from cover to cover. And Alan, I want to say thank you for writing that book. And you were writing your book parallel while I was writing my book, and we didn't even know we were both writing the book on the rapture. So I found your book really helpful to me, and I want to say thank you for writing it.
Well, thank you. And it must be a subject that the Holy Spirit wants people to dive into, to get excited about the rapture.
Епископ Рик, у меня вопрос.
Okay, Андрей, you go first.
Могли бы вы немного рассказать нашим людям о пасторе Алане?
Could you tell us a bit about Pastor Alan? How did you get to know him?
Кроме того, что мы знаем, что он написал несколько хороших книг.
We know he wrote several wonderful books, but how did you meet Pastor Alan?
Наша аудитория не знает.
Well, I watched him on YouTube. And I believe Alan interviewed me. I can't really remember how it happened.
Yeah, we did an interview.
And I spoke in Alan's church. And then Alan was on our TV program for 10 days. And I just love Alan DeDio and I love his whole family. But I have a question for you. Why is the rapture so controversial today?
You know, I think it was 2015 when I was dealing with another controversial subject in the body of Christ, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, pay attention to the doctrines that are criticized, that are mocked, or that are manipulated, because that's where I'm moving. That's where I'm working. And I started to realize that whenever something becomes radioactive, if you will, and controversial, the enemy's trying to keep us from learning about that subject matter. And it's been interesting to me. If I can share, when I was first born again, I had a dream, and I had not learned about the end times. I hadn't learned about the rapture, but in this dream, I was in a large open field near my childhood home, and there was a cookout going on, celebration. Everybody was out in their yards having a good time. When all of a sudden, I heard a sound, and I looked to the clouds, and behind these dark clouds was a clock with Roman numerals, and it was 11:59, and the second hand was speeding quickly to midnight. And then all of a sudden, gravity loosed its hold, and I began to rise off of the ground. And I remember I knew I was going to see Jesus. The thrill and the excitement of that moment was tangible. But I looked down, and I saw most were completely unaware of what was going on. And I awoke from that dream saying, Jesus is coming. And since that time until now, I've poured my heart, my soul, my life into studying the rapture of the church and the end times and the second coming. And I've been shocked by how divisive this subject matter has become. And I think it's because the devil wants to rob the church of its hope. The devil wants to rob the church of its blessed hope. And that's why it's become so controversial.
So if people don't believe in the rapture, Alan, then what do they believe is going to happen?
Well, it varies. You know, there's differing views. And I think all Christians, and I could be overextending here, believe in the rapture. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. Because the rapture is the fullness of Christ's redemptive work in our bodies being realized. When we are resurrected and we receive our glorified bodies. And it seems that the majority of the church all agree that that's going to happen. Where we differ is, when is that going to happen? Some say that that's going to happen before the 7 years of tribulation that God is sending on the earth, or in the middle, or at the end. And that's where we differ about these things. But I think as a whole, we all agree that there's coming a glorious moment when our gray hairs are going to go back to their natural color. And some of us who have lost a few are going to get back what we lost, and we're going to walk in our glorified bodies. No more back aches, no more back pains, and we will receive the resurrection that Christ promised us. That's an exciting thing. No wonder the enemy wants to rob us of that hope.
You know, in 2 Peter, it says that in the end of the age, mockers will laugh at us who believe in the rapture of the church. And there really is a contingent of people today who are just mocking us.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they don't know the Bible because the Bible is filled with raptures. Enoch was raptured. Elijah was raptured. Jesus was raptured. There's raptures all over the Bible. And if God can do it with one, he can do it with everybody. This is not a challenge for God. And in that moment, like you say, our bodies are going to be transformed. I say it is going to be the cosmetic procedure that we all dream for. Immediately, all the wrinkles are going to be gone. All the places that have fallen are going to be put back in their right places. I mean, it's going to be the cosmetic surgery of our dreams in that moment when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But Alan, when do you think it's going to be?
I know exactly when the rapture is going to happen. Are you ready?
When?
This is going to, at any moment. You know, you always want to steer clear of date setters because we know that the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. And there's a reason for that, because the hope and the anticipation of the coming of the Lord is meant to do something for us and to us. So maybe we can talk about that, but so we know it's imminent. We know that. And I make the case in the book, as you've done some amazing teaching on this as well, that it could happen at any moment. That does not mean soon, but it simply means at any moment, and we must be ready for it at any moment.
Wow. Is there anything that needs to happen between now and then?
That's what the word imminent means, that nothing needs to happen before that event takes place. It is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. Now, we may see signs be fulfilled, but that sign didn't need to be fulfilled. That sign is simply there to remind us, any moment, be ready to meet Jesus. So no signs need to be fulfilled.
In your view, who will go in the rapture?
Every blood-bought believer will go in the rapture. Now, if we can get...
What if they're not living for God, but they are believers?
This is where we have to let God be the judge, because there is incessant warnings. I list at least 21 scriptures. In fact, I listed 22, and you said one of them might not be appropriate, so I pulled that one out. So there's 21 that I put in the New Testament that warn, be watchful at any moment, be ready. Now, he wouldn't warn Christians to be ready if it wasn't important for you to be ready, that you can't just kind of live a laissez-faire, quasi-Christian life and expect to be ready for that moment. The enemy's coming after you. He's trying to keep you from that moment. But I'm not a partial rapturist in the sense that only the super saints are going to go. There are some people who preach that. But I do believe real Christians are going. And what does it mean to be a real Christian? It means those who are trusting in Jesus for their eternal salvation. And every day when they get up, they're trusting in him. They're looking to him as the author and the finisher of their faith.
It seems to me there's a little tension in Scripture on this question.
I agree.
It's on purpose, because it makes us want to be sure that we're ready and that we're part of the group that's going to go. And I believe that it's very healthy. What do you believe will happen the moment that the church is evacuated?
Well, there's two scenarios, two scenes. And as you read through the book of Revelation, there are moments when we're looking at what's happening on earth, and then there are moments that we're looking at what's happening in heaven. Now, what's happening on earth is the governor has been removed from evil, that the restrainer, the limiter, the spirit-filled church has been removed from the earth. So now the Antichrist, his agenda, Satan and his agenda can be unleashed. There's no light. There's no more hope. There's just his wrath, his agenda. And then the wrath of God begins to be poured out on the earth. But what's happening for us in that moment is we are going to stand before the great Bema seat of Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. This is what
in heaven.
Yes. And most Christians miss this, that the rapture is inexorably connected to the judgment seat of Christ, that we are going immediately to give an account for every word, every deed, every thought. Now, this is not a reason to be scared. You're not going to be condemned in this moment. This is where we're going to receive our rewards. However, the Bible says that we will be everything that we've done will be tried, wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. And we're going to see our life as it was versus as it could have been. Feel that moment. It's not going to just happen like that. I think we're going to take some time to see where we missed it and where we could have done better, where we held on to anger when we didn't obey the Holy Spirit. And I believe in that moment, we're going to see the grace of God displayed in a way we could have never possibly imagined. And it's going to be so...
That will also be the period of the marriage feast of the Lamb.
That's exactly
right.
And
I believe we're going to all be sitting at the table, and announcements will be made from time to time. Alan DiDio, come, and you'll be brought. Okay?
Wow.
Rick Renner. And we'll be called from the table, and when we're finished, we'll go back to the table. But it's going to take 7 years. And yeah, to me, that shows how thorough this review is going to be. It's going to take Jesus 7 years to deal with every one of us, one by one, when we stand in front of him. Andre?
Proverb from Matthew, 25th chapter. The virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were... They ran out of oil. They could not enter.
Сегодня у людей, у христиан есть такой страх. И вот мой вопрос.
And some Christians have this fear. What do I do not to be one of those? One of those.
Не оказаться из...
Not very wise virgins.
Such a good question. In fact, and when you read Matthew 25 and verse number 1, I think one of the most fascinating words or revelations in that entire parable is the first word in verse 1 when it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins," meaning that there is a specific period of time where this parable will be applicable. Then, now, if you read Matthew 24, he says, "Now, when you see the fig tree begin to blossom and bloom, then know that summer is nigh." I think that's the then. So when you see the nation of Israel rebirth, I think that parable kicks into play. I think we are the generation who that parable applies to more than any other. And the wisdom of the 5 wise virgins was that they were ready to meet the Lord right now, and they were ready to meet him tomorrow. If he doesn't come back right now, they're ready to meet him the next day, or they're ready to meet him the next day. They were prepared for any scenario, and that's what imminence should do for us. It should make us prepared to meet him, not just now, but tomorrow. So the old saying is that we prepare, we're ready to meet Jesus right now, but we plan and prepare as if he might return 100 years from now. That's the wisdom of the 5 wise virgins.
That's one of the scriptures that I think has tension built into it, because there's a question. You know, who are the 5 unwise? And really, it's not answered very clearly in that text, but it sure leaves you with the desire that you're a part of the 5 that were ready. And I think that was Jesus' purpose in that parable, was to say, make sure that you've got your lamps, that your lamps are filled. Make sure that you're ready. I think that it was intended to make us really look at ourselves. Maxine?
Yeah, I have a question. Well, that proverb about those 5 wise virgins, I think the main thing there is everything needs to be done on time. Everything you do, you have to do it on time. There is time for everything. But my question is, when we stand before the Bema, the judgment seat, and there will be rewards, what kind of rewards? Okay, crowns. I know about the crowns. Okay, it's wonderful to have a crown, but what kind of rewards will there be?
You don't know the answer to that, and you've been hearing me preach for 30 years.
Please tell me.
It's going to be assignments that are given to us in the next phase.
That's all?
What do you mean, that's all? It's eternity. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, we're living in a qualification period for the next age. That's what this is right now. We're not just going to go to heaven and play harps. This is pre-qualification for what's going to happen in the next stage. And what I do now is going to determine my assignment then. It's also going to talk about our levels of glory. If you study 1 Corinthians 15, it says that in the resurrection, there's different kinds of glory, there's all kinds of rewards. But our assignments will be given to us at the beginning.
Okay, so our assignments are the rewards we're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Cities, right? We'll be given crowns, are representative of authority. And so some are given greater levels of authority, and some will be given 10 cities, some will be given 5 cities, right? Based off of the faithfulness they walked in obedience to Christ's word.
You know what did you hear what he said? He said, "You heard me preaching." I mean, I've been translating for him for 20 years. It reminded me of Jesus he said, "You've been with me for so many years
long.
And you don't..." Was it Thomas? Who was it?
You don't know who I am?
You don't know who I am?
Andre?
We remember the story of Noah. In Noah's time, when he told the animals to enter the ark, All those who were supposed to go in did. He preached to people for 100 years, and yet no one except his own family heard his message. I hope that we and our loved ones will hear what the Lord is preaching to us today.
Well, the Apostle Paul, when he's referring to the battles that we're facing in Ephesians chapter 6, says, put on the armor of God that you may stand against the attacks of the devil. There's always one piece of armor that has puzzled me, and that was the helmet of salvation. He's writing to Christians, and he tells Christians to put on the helmet of salvation. I always wondered, does that mean we take it off when we go to bed and we put it back on when we get up in the morning? However, if you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when he's talking That's about correct. Preparing for the day of the Lord, he says, it is the helmet of the hope of salvation, for God has not appointed us to wrath. So how do we make sure we're ready? We put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. We look to the coming of the Lord. Matthew 24 said, it is a wicked servant who says in his heart, my master delays his coming, but is a faithful servant who is looking for his master's return. And as a result, that wicked servant began to beat other servants and mistreat people because he didn't have his helmet on. He was not protected from that demonic way of thinking and living because he wasn't anticipating the return of his master. So I say the best advice for Christians is put on the helmet of salvation. In other words, when you get up in the morning, say, Jesus, is it today? Do I get to meet you today? And what can I do today that would please you and that would honor you? And that's how you prepare and put on the helmet of salvation and guard against the attacks of the enemy.
I've got another question. Is the Antichrist alive right now, in your opinion, and when will he be revealed?
I believe the Antichrist, Satan, has always had. I don't think Satan is privy to the plans of God. I don't think he knows exactly what God is doing or when he's doing it. So I think he's always prepared an Antichrist. So I think every generation, of course, when we look in the Bible, we see that there are many Antichrists already in the earth. We see that the spirit of Antichrist is in the earth, and that we are awaiting, according to 2 Thessalonians, the revealing of that wicked one, the Antichrist. And I think the reason why he has not been revealed is because we're here and we walk in an authority that he can't contend with, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Wow. 1 John chapter 4, which is specifically referring to he that's in the world, the Antichrist. So that's the reason why. As long as we're here, he can't take power. But once we're removed, he'll be able to fully do what he has planned.
And is that the moment he'll be revealed?
Well, I would defer to you on that. There's some who said there's no amount of time that is given from the rapture of the church to when he's revealed. It seems to be the case that once the church is removed, he's able to be revealed. But I'd ask you that question.
Well, the Greek says then that wicked one shall be revealed. And the Greek means then at that very synchronized moment. The moment the church is extracted, he'll step out on the stage.
Wow.
Which means he's prepared and he's waiting. And so whoever he is, he's being prepared right now. And the moment the church is evacuated, he will make his appearance. But who is the Antichrist? What does the Bible tell us about where he will be from? What can you tell us, Alan?
You know, there's a lot that the Bible has to say about the Antichrist. In fact, I think Adam, the first man ever mentioned, is mentioned 50 times in the Bible. The Antichrist is mentioned 100 times in the Bible. So if you want to know the importance of this figure, it's really important. He's talked about in Daniel. He's talked about in John's writings, particularly in the book of Revelation, but also in the epistle of 1 John. He's called the son of perdition. And we've had many Antichrist figures, from Cain to Nimrod to Judas, these different Antichrist figures throughout history, in biblical history as well as regular history. We've seen Antichrist figures even in modern history, from Hitler and others. So the Bible has a lot to say about this figure, and there are some Christians who hold to the rapture of the church who say, I don't need to learn about the Antichrist because I'm not going to be here. However, you're supposed to learn about everything that the Bible has to say, and it has a lot to say about this person. And when you learn about the Antichrist, you learn about the spirit of Antichrist that's in the earth, so that we're not ignorant concerning his devices. So the Bible says that he'll want a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world economy, that he'll create an image that will speak and the whole world will marvel at it. There's a lot the Bible has to say about this character. Now, we don't want to be here to meet him. However, we need to be familiar with what the Bible has to say so we can fight against that spirit.
You know, Alan, how old are you?
I am 40, 5. Took me second.
I'm about 20 some years older than you. When I was a boy, people thought the Antichrist was Mikhail Gorbachev.
Yeah.
Some people thought it was Ronald Reagan.
Then there
were people who were absolutely convinced it was Henry Kissinger. Then there was a whole group who believed it was Anwar Sadat. I mean, people have tried to pick and choose and figure out all these years, is it this one, is it this one, is it this one? But honestly, if you look at what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, nobody will know his identity until the church is removed. He's standing behind the curtains on stage. That word revelation, then he'll be revealed. That word revelation describes the pulling apart of curtains, which means he's center stage, but the curtains are closed.
Mm.
And actually, if you just look at the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel alone gives us 40 characteristics of the Antichrist. It must be important for us to know this, or the Bible wouldn't give us such detailed information. So we can have a type of the Antichrist, but we won't exactly know who is the Antichrist until the church is removed, and we won't be here. And when we are removed, the world will think, they won't know he's the Antichrist. They just think he's going to be a wonderful deliverer, a wonderful new leader that has suddenly appeared on stage. But thank God we will not be here.
Amen.
Are we going to be here in the tribulation?
Well, and actually, the answer to this question, you just need to know the purpose of the tribulation. One of the chapters in the book is on what is the Great Tribulation. I thought it would be the shortest chapter. It turned out being the longest one because it's so important for people to understand this, that the tribulation is a time when God's direct wrath is poured out on the earth, where he's trying to wake up Israel and shake up the earth. And so it is God's direct wrath being poured out. Now, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we've not been appointed to that wrath. In fact, because we are in Christ, you remember God's wrath was poured out on Jesus on the cross. For the church to be here during that time would be the equivalent of God crucifying Jesus a second time. And he's not going to do that. And so when you look at, I believe it was Genesis 18 through 20, you see the story of Abraham and Lot. And Lot is there in the city of Sodom, and Abraham is negotiating with God. And here's what he says, "Shall the judge of all the earth do what is right?" Meaning, it's not right for you to pour out your judgment while there are righteous people there in that city. And God agreed, that would not be right. So I will not pour out my judgment while there are righteous people. In fact, the angel said, God cannot, Lot, we got to get you out of here. God cannot pour out his judgment while you're still here. And so what do we do with a time when God's wrath or judgment is poured out, not on a city, but on the entire globe, and there is no escaping it? Then we realize that the God of all the earth will do what is right. He will remove those who are his out of the way.
I think people don't know what is wrath. You know, people often say, well, Christians have always lived through difficult times. But
right.
Living through difficult times and wrath, they're not the same thing. We have no comprehension of wrath. The closest comprehension of wrath would be perhaps what happened to Egypt when all the plagues came at once. But I mean,
yes,
what's going to happen during the tribulation? It's called the Veliki Skorbi. It's the Great Tribulation. Mm. The Bible says there's never been a time before like it. There'll never be a time after to be compared to it. No one has ever seen or experienced anything like it. And God in his goodness is going to take us out before that takes place. And I'm so thankful.
And there are so many Christians, by the way, if I can say, who say, well, I want to be here and we got to preach the gospel. Can you imagine one of Noah's sons saying, I'm not going in the ark. I'm going to stay here and preach the gospel while the floodwaters hit the earth. There's no surviving it. There's no standing against it. There's no way to prepare to stand against that type of destruction that's coming on the earth. So God's going to seal his people in, take them up, hide them away. And it's going to be a glorious time for us.
Thank you so much. I love you. I praise God for you. And I'm grateful to call you my friend.
Thank you,
and
sir.
Home group,
we love you.
We want to say thank you for joining me and Andre and Maxime and Bishop Allen as we've been talking about the rapture of the church. It could happen any moment. That's what he said, any moment. So let's make sure we're ready.